It's showtime.
Bob Kincaid, 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And I hope better late than never, we are off and running. Yes, sometimes there are traffic jams, even in the lonesome hills and hollers of almost level West by Coal Trump Genius Stan. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. It is Thorn in the Side Thursday. And no, I'm not taking the first day of the month off or anything. I should have been right here in the chair about an hour and 15 minutes ago, but sometimes it doesn't work out that way. No. Sometimes it just effing doesn't. But again, let the bells ring out and the banners fly. It's too good to be true, but I'm here, absolutely. And this is the first day of March 2018. We bid a fond farewell to February, the shortest month that somehow or another, proving that all things are relative and time is relative, the shortest month of the year that somehow manages to also be the longest one. And we got plenty to talk about tonight. We'll have some conversation radio of that, at least I hope. As you may have heard last night, first-time callers generally don't have a problem getting through the program, as Rhonda proved last night. Yep, and we are up and running on... wait a minute. I screwed up. Now we're up and running on both streams. Thank you, Jack. That was my bad. That was entirely my fault. I was in such a drop-dead hurry to get things going that I neglected a button. I actually heard a thing on checklists last night on National Petroleum Radio, or I don't know, maybe it was American Public Media or something, but about the use of checklists, and I probably need one here, especially when I get in a hurry. I mean, that's where mistakes come from. But No, we'll have an almost full program this evening. Quick program note, however. Tomorrow, we will have a truncated Friday on the Front Porch. I'm hoping that we will get things up and running for the Front Porch fairly quickly, barring any sort of last-minute disasters in the news or what have you. Hell, we'd do it that way anyway. I'll be filling in for my good friend Mike Malloy tomorrow evening from 9 to 11 over on Progressive Voices. So that means I'll have to shut things down at 8 o'clock or thereabouts so that we can retool and get everything up and running to be ready to stream to Progressive Voices and have all the recordings set up and all of that various and sundry fun stuff. So that's just a little program note for tomorrow. We'll go... we'll go, 6 to 8 here Eastern time and then 9 to 11. Okay, just a second here. Sorry about this. Some days the magic works. Some days the magic does not work. Have no fear. There is no problem with HeadOn.live. There's just a problem with me. And actually, it's the way the interface works. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. Depending on the order in which one pushes the buttons. So anyway, we're about 20 minutes past the hour, and I want to, I wish we were just doing another week of fundraising free radio, but we're back at the beginning of the month, so that means that we're not. Okay, Steve from Georgia Stan tells me I need to re-announce tomorrow's plans. Again, tomorrow will be an early Friday on the front porch and a short Friday on the front porch. The program will only go until about 8 p.m. because then I have to reset and retool and whatever and get, because I'll be filling in for Mike Malloy, my good friend there at Progressive Voices from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. So, as they say, please make a note of it. Yes. But we're back into fundraising mode. I'm really getting spoiled with the little breaks that we get at the end of the month. But no, we're back at it, and so that means that being the first of the month, yay! We have Shirley's Challenge that begins every broadcast month here at the Horn. In other words, the way Shirley's Challenge works, just remember, there's $200 on the table. If that $200 gets met with 200 matching, there's a $200 challenge on the table. Slow down, Bob. If we get $200 in contributions tonight, that challenge doubles the $200. Okay, so that's where it stands. We need to raise $200 this evening. It would be freaking awesome if we raised them like in the next 40 minutes or so. So then we can have two hours of fundraising free radio instead of me having to blather on about it for the bulk of the program. So $300 or $200 plus $200. If we raise the $200, it gets matched with $200, and that's an awesome way to begin the month. And thank you very kindly to Ralphs and to Laborman. And to one other person who prefers to remain anonymous, who puts together the $200 for the challenge at the first of every month. Okay? So that's where that stands. We also have thanks to send out. We have many thanks to send out. Because we've got a nice little handful of subscribers for the first day of the month. Thank you very kindly to Vernon in San Diego. Thank you very kindly to Peter in Austin. Thank you very much to Lauren, our correspondent from the far frozen wastes of Alberta. Thank you to Terry in Amherst, where only the H is silent. Thank you very much to Joseph in Washington State. Thank you, Joseph. Thanks very kindly to Karen in Ohio. Thank you, Karen. Thanks very kindly to Brock. Thank you, Brock. Thanks to our buddy Smitty in Florida. Thank you, Smitty. And thanks very kindly to Bob in North Carolina. And to Kay in California. So just a reminder. Just a reminder, what we do is we fundraise through the week, and then between the subscriptions, and if we keep even with fundraising, that means we get a week of fundraising free radio at the end of the month. That's the way it's supposed to work. So we need to raise the $200 tonight. The PayPal interfaces are at headon.live and headonradionetwork.com. And if you'd like to become a subscriber, like the aforementioned folks who I just thank, well, just click that little box that says make this a recurring donation or whatever it is it says there. Put in the $10 and set it and forget it. So That's where all that stands. For the folks who like to use the U.S. Postal Service, well, the mailing address is The Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, BECKLEY WV 25801. Okay? And if you want to let me know, I'll tell Boss Man Wayne to be on the lookout, and he won't, in that way, if he doesn't wear his spider-proof gloves, he won't get his hands chewed off when he reaches into the mailbox there. And you want both hands there in case you run into the grand exalted noble Cyclops Kleagle, in case you have to, you know, use an axe handle on him, because the clan picks up their mail at the same place. Don't ask me why. It's just how that works out. So, that takes care of all the thank yous and the fundraising. That really threw me for a minute, Steve. I thought it was renounce tomorrow's plans. What? No, re-announce. Yes, re-announce. And I did that part. Just 1 second. Sorry. Sometimes the program is a little harum scarum getting started. All right. So I think that takes care of all the housekeeping. It is Thorn in the Side Thursday, as mentioned. It's a veritable briar patch this evening. I had some interesting emails. It tickles me to pieces when I get notes like this from folks like Dave over in Ohio. I would have written this last night, but I'm usually busy with evening distractions and was playing the podcast this morning at work on the pewter when you and Jim brought up the aquarium pump-powered stirrup bong. Bob, once again, I was laughing so hard I had to hold it in check unless my work neighbors would be asking, what's Dave laughing his head off about? But it did bring tears of laughter. I also remember in the Wayback Files when Sandra called in to comment on it and had me in tears of laughter even then. And Dave then proceeds to give me the three requirements for patentability. There's potential here. Where my mind goes is if it makes it all the way to the United States Patent and Trademark Office and the first reaction of the application reviewer, what the is this? Followed by laughter to his workmates. Hey, Fred. Check this out. Who'd have thunk? Yeah, looks like it'd work as designed. More laughter. Giggling. Well, I guess you just have to process it then, don't you? David Ohio says, sorry, that's just how my mind works these days. Don't apologize. As I've said a million times before, my mind is not a place you want to live. But I do, I do understand. I understand completely. thank you for that. A couple of different directions to go this evening. You want a thorn? Courtesy of Mike in Cascadia. I got a thorn. And I love the way you guys write. It's so, you know, we're just friends here, so we just talk to each other like folks. JFC just vomited in my mouth on this one. So that means you might want to get the hockey puck out. The Utah legislature. As if last night's half-shekel commemorative coin with the face of Cyrus the Great of Persia and geezer disgust us were not enough. This is what occasioned the JFC I just threw up in my mouth, courtesy of Mike in Cascadia. Dateline Salt Lake City. The Utah legislature will consider a proposal to name a road after President Trump. Representative Mike Noel, R. Kanab, you know, that's the next planet there, that's the next planet after Kolob, introduced House Bill 481, which would rename the Utah National Parks Highway as the Donald J. Trump Utah National Parks Highway. In appreciation, Representative Noel said, for the action that Donald Trump took against Bears Ears and Grand Staircase Escalante National Monuments and advocating for local control, that means coal companies, frackers, oil drillers, timberers, uranium miners, local control of public lands. I believe and trust what he's done, and I think we ought to recognize him for that. This is to dispel the myths that come out in the news that this guy's going to damage the public lands. He's not. Well, all kind of depends on how you define damage. Now, if you define damage as blasting the living bejesus out of those former national monuments, well, yeah, it's going to damage the land. But if you the monetization, the liquidation, and the capitalization of those magnificent pieces of the public trust, if tearing it all to hell and trying to make a little one-time scratch out of it, if that's what you're into, no, you're not damaging it. You're value adding it. That's what you do. You're value adding it. The road stretches from Lake Powell through Washington, Iron, Garfield, Wayne, San Juan, and Grand counties, touching each of the Mighty Five national parks. I have a sneaking suspicion that there are probably going to be a lot of folks, you know, dressed in things, gear from Patagonia and North Face and Cool and Arc'teryx and the Backpacker, who are not going to take kindly to that, and I wouldn't. I'd suggest that the state of Utah might want to lay in a little extra money for replacement road signs, because I wouldn't give one of them 24 hours after it goes up before it gets, let's say, christened. Okay? Yeah, but thanks, Mike. Thanks for letting me know. nothing like having a little something to make you want to hoot like a barn owl. Right. Quick update from here in almost level West by Cold Trump Virginia, Stan. You know, a couple of nights ago, I said, looks like we might be having an end to the teacher strike. Well, maybe not so much. No, because they didn't go back to work today, the teachers, and all 54 out of 55 counties are closed tomorrow as well. Because it turns out that the union leadership and the state government tried to pull a fast one on the teachers. You might even say they tried to slicker them. The union leadership and the state government folks came to an agreement without telling the teachers or putting it to a vote. See, silly rank and file union members, they think that they've got a right to express their opinions via, I don't know, a democratic process. And that kind of didn't happen. And it all sort of blew up, too, because the teachers found out that despite the fact that Jim Kunta Kinte Justice was and the Repiglickens in the legislature were hooting and hollering about how poor they were, well, daggummit, they just there's about $50 million laying around that they kind of hadn't, you know, mentioned. You know what I mean? Mentioned? Disclosed? Told anybody about? Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of dollars. So things have been kind of fluid. And frankly, from where I stand, I wouldn't trust Jim Justice with the carcass of a dead skunk under even the best of circumstances. Because Jim Justice is a scalawag. He's a rounder and a bounder, a con and a cheat. And make no mistake, he was one of those back when he was a Democrat, too. He just kind of made it a little more obvious by switching over and becoming a Republican. Let's check in, though, because it's just one of those things. It's like looking up Republican and finding a picture. I'm talking about West Virginia Republican member of the House of Delegates, Diana L. Graves. She's a proud Republican. She describes herself as proof positive that a Republican can be fiscally conservative, care about the environment, helping the downtrodden, and find peace where possible. Well, Delegate Graves has yet to introduce a bill that would acknowledge the poisoning of people in West Virginia occasioned by the practice that we know and despise as mountaintop removal. Never done that. And so, you know, her whole care about the environment thing, yeah, that to be determined. But about 9:30 this morning, Delegate Diana L. Graves tweeted the following: I will not vote yes for one more teacher issue while the strike continues. The strike, while I understand what drove it, should be over and kids back in class. The teachers have enjoyed broad support here in West Virginia, with the only carping mainly coming from Republicans, of course. But also from people, I don't know what I'm going to do about child care. I got to go to work. And we plan on our youngins to be in school. So in other words, they're pissed off that the teachers, whom they think of as more as daycare providers, want to be paid like human beings. But for the most part, the teachers do enjoy broad support. So, anyway, Delegate Diana L. Graves said, I understand what drove it, but it should be over and kids back in class. This is making a laughingstock out of West Virginia. Lady, West Virginia's teachers are the 48th lowest paid teachers in the entire United States. 48th. 47 states pay their teachers better than West Virginia does. You might want to hold up on the whole laughingstock thing. That's a word you should probably excise from your vocabulary, representing Graves. Wow, a Republican named representing Graves. How apropos is that? You know, because we have people who die here while she doesn't do a damn thing about it. Anyway, that wasn't the end of her tweet, though. She said,
This is making a laughingstock out of West Virginia. It's not fair to working people or to the taxpayer.
Now, I read that at about 9:30 this morning. And yes, I hooted like a barn owl. Whoop! That's not really a barn owl, but you get the idea. Question coming from Hoghead in the chat room. What two states treat their teachers worse? Well, I don't know. I'd guess Mississippi's got to be one of them. Maybe Arkansas's the other. Louisiana? Nah, I'd say it's probably Mississippi and Arkansas. Just a guess. But the reason I hooted was the whole tweet. They're in the running, a labor man pointing out New Mexico. Well, yes, there's that. Because, as labor man points out, New Mexico sojourns down at the bottom of a whole lot of lists that they would like to not be at the bottom of as well. I hear some New Mexico stories every now and then, being how my littlest is out there. But, well, like I said, the snippiness and the, I will not forbid, as if she would vote in favor of the teachers as if they went back to work. The whole reason the teachers struck is because people like good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual, representing Republican Christian Diana L. Graves didn't do anything in the first place. This is, after all, a Republican legislature that had one job, one, last year. Pass a budget. Couldn't do it. Oh, they could pass a soured goat's milk bill. No, raw milk, that's what it was. Yeah, they could pass one of those. Mm-hmm. Spend a lot of time on that. Couldn't pass a budget. Had to go back and have a special session and get paid more money from the taxpayer. But that didn't make West Virginia a laughingstock. No, it just made the Republican majority in the legislature a laughingstock. But it's really no laughing matter. No, not in the least. Because people suffer when they don't do their job, when legislatures don't do their jobs. But that was the one. That what got me was, it's not fair to working people or to the taxpayer. Hey, lady, I dare you to try to do the work that these teachers do under the crummy circumstances in which they try to do them. Oh, and by the way, representing Graves, teachers are taxpayers. Everybody who's on the platform sooner or later sends out a dumb tweet or two. Or one, you know. I get so upset. I'll go and delete a tweet for having a misspell in it. You just can't stand it, unless it seems like a really, really good one. Then I'll, you know, if there's a stray comma or something like that, I'll let that go. But really, I guess she was just so proud of herself because she was so angry with those teachers. And so she thumbed it in all Trumpy-like and without a second thought hit send. Without realizing that she had implied there that teachers are neither working people nor taxpayers. That's going to play real, real good. With the teachers in this state. And all you can do is hope. because, well, there's a lot of hard work between now and November. No, you can hope, but we're better off if people work. But you do have to hope that these teachers have figured out which part of the sky the sun comes up in and where their bread's buttered and those various and sundry other cliches. Because when you look at the numbers from 2016, and you have to come to a realization, and this is something that affects just about every state in the union that isn't like California, Oregon, Washington. But especially places like Alabama and West Virginia. By the way, I saw a map the other day. I gotta rethink my references. West Virginia may not be the Trumpiest place on earth anymore. We may have been superseded by Talibama. I'm not going to grieve if that's the case. But you can't. But there's no way that when you look at the numbers for West Virginia in the November general election of 2016, there's no way that all the teachers went and voted the right way. I know for a fact that some of them are Trumpansies. So the question becomes, can you figure out, can they figure out where this problem comes from? Because there's been some journalism going on in this state. Maybe you don't give a damn about a teacher strike in West Virginia, but it's a pretty gutsy move when you get right down to it. The fact of the matter is, they were the author of some of their own problems, or at least the ones who went and voted for Trump and these godforsaken mouth walking, knuckle breathing, tea bagging, booger eating Trumpansy legislature. Yeah. And again, there's already both-siderism to be found in the media. Well, you know, the problem was created by Republicans and Democrats. The Democrats held the legislature for a very long time and didn't do anything about PEIA. Yeah, maybe, but the Republicans brought it to a head. And that wasn't a Democratic majority that lied to him about the $50 million either. No. So it remains to be seen. Whether or not we'll wise up. And I don't know. Are you a betting person? Because in this case, I'm not. Because see, there's several little tricks at work. While we were sitting there in traffic on the way home, Agnes and I heard a story on we were actually rolling by then. But there was some Republican chair of the Finance Committee, Senate Finance Committee, was talking about how, or some member of state government, well, we'll have some revenue from the new gambling bill. Yeah, we're going to have to gamble our way to prosperity here, I guess, or at least it's the duty of every upstanding West Virginian to go and gamble. So that the teachers can have health care, because that's ever so much better than just, having something like Medicare for All in the United States. God, right. But then he added, and also the co-tenancy bill has money in it for PEIA. PEIA is the Public Employees Insurance Agency. That's the outfit that provides health insurance to, among other people, other employees of the state, teachers. And my pink little ears perked up at that. The co-tenancy bill. It sounds like, oh, I don't know. Is that another way of saying cohabitation? We're gonna tax people for living in sin or something? That sounds like something stupid enough that a Republican would do it. Yeah, we're going to tax some people that's living in sin. That's what we're going to do there. No. One of the pet wishes of the Republicans for the last several years has been a bill that you may have heard of in the past called forced pooling. And it has some complexity to it, but I think I can distill and simplify it enough to get the point across. What Republicans refer to as co-tenancy is a scam. Of course it is. It's a Republican idea. Naturally, it's a scam. But it's not just any scam. We got a lot of frackable gas underground here in Almost Level West by Coal and Gas, Trumpjinistan. And the Republicans are still, and way too many Democrats too, I might add, convinced that they can frack their way to prosperity in this state. Now, bear in mind that we have yet to have any sort of extraction scheme that has resulted in a net positive for the ordinary, everyday citizens of this state. You know, like in never. And we certainly don't want to put any kind of meaningful taxation on the frack companies. But the frack companies, in turn, are sick and damn tired of people looking at them and saying, I don't want to sell you the gas that's under my ground. Assuming that people own their mineral rights. So the Republicans came up with this plan whereby the gas companies could force landowners and mineral owners to sell their gas whether they wanted to or not. If they got a bunch of other people who said, well, hell yeah, I'll sell. And then you had a couple of lone holdout, tree-hugging, earth not wanting to warm anymore types who didn't want to sell their gas. Well, the bill would just let the gas companies take it anyway and pay them fair market value for the taking. Kind of like eminent domain without all the legal niceties. And it was defeated narrowly. And it was referred to as forced pooling. In other words, landowners would be forced to pool their resources with other resource owners and let the frackers take it for fair market value. But forced pooling, that sounds so authoritarian. It sounds like something you'd do in a third world, well, or in a an autocratic, oligarchic, plutocratic regime somewhere that maybe some guy named Vlad ran the country. So now it's the co-tenancy bill. Doesn't that sound nice? See, we're all just going to be co-tenants. Mm-hmm. It's like we'll all live in little rooms down a hallway, and we'll share the potty and the gas well. People still don't like it. But here's where the strategery comes in. If the teachers want to get paid, and if the teachers in particular want to fix the PEIA, well, they're going to be asked to remain silent, stand still, shut up, while other people take it on the chin. Thereby splitting, divide and conquer, right? And as was pointed out to me at one point, this is very similar to what Snot Walker did back when the Koch brothers bought him the formerly progressive state of Wisconsin, and he set about ruining it. Pit the teachers against everybody. Pit the cops and the firefighters against all the other state workers, public employees. And bingo! So it remains to be seen whether the teachers will fall for it. One hopes that they won't, but again, hope in one hand, right? So that's just a little bit of local stuff from around and hereabouts. Hey, by the way, I neglected to mention that, thanks very kindly to Scott, our buddy Scott in Florida. He got us started on Shirley's Challenge, and so I can proudly announce that we have only $175 left to go on that. Thank you, Scott. Hopefully other people will jump in, and I can not talk about this for the next 2 hours. Again, let's see if we can knock it off in the next 30 minutes. Can we scrounge up $175 in 30 minutes? If we could, it'd be wonderful. And we'd be off and running for the month of March, and we wouldn't leave a $200 challenge on the table. Okay, so, again, if 'twere done, were best done quickly. But that's, you know, that's just the front end of the filibobster. And don't think for a minute that I haven't that I have forgotten about something, because I haven't. Oh no, not in the least. Mm-mm. Because of course, we have This Day in Horn History. Brought to you by Horn Nutraceuticals at Horn Labs on Twitter. Proudly announcing a new bullshit nutritional supplement for you. It is among the bullshittiest of bullshit nutritional supplements we've lately offered. That's right, I'm talking about Rubianic Rhubarb. Rubianic Rhubarb from Horn Nutraceuticals at Horn Labs on Twitter gives you 500% of your recommended daily allowance of Rubianic Rhubarb via a process both proprietary and GMO-free and vegan and cage-free and free-range and cruelty-free. Yes, Rubianic Rhubarb from Horn Nutraceuticals at Horn Labs on Twitter comes in a 90-day supply, which you can lay your hands on for only $175 even, plus $200 shipping and handling. Operators are not standing by. It's not a free call, and no salesman will call. However, your mileage may vary. Rubianic Rhubarb will put a spring in your step and put the fight the fight of spring and the rights of spring back into your hands. If you act now and you order that 3 month supply, well, by golly, we'll send you a little bundle of collusion strips so that you can check and make sure that what we're telling you here at Horn Nutraceuticals, at Horn Labs on Twitter, is absolutely true, that rubianic rhubarb has absolutely no nutritional value whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Act now. This offer may not be repeated. Post no bills, use no hooks. This side up. FOB, COD, RHUBARB, rubianic rhubarb, just in time for baseball season, when the rhubarb grows almost wild, but nothing quite like rubianic rhubarb. From Horn Nutraceuticals, at Horn Labs on Twitter. Get yours today. We're dialing back the Horn 9000 time machine 5 years into Kincaid's improbable history, all the way back to March the 1st, 2013. It's a sequester day, or sequation day, according to the guy who came up with the concept of movement of the Titanic plates. Yes, it is, in fact, Friday on the front porch on the Horn, but in an effort to prove that prayer meeting Wednesday is always front and center, Bob opens the program with what he calls A Moment with Marion. To Stupid is as follows. A viewer has written into noted televangelist and melting Crayola face Marion Pat Robertson concerned that the used clothing she bought, oh, I remember this so well, from Goodwill may in fact contain demons and other sundry spirits. Well, if it comes with a free liter of liquor, I mean, well, no, different spirits. The viewer wants to know if she needs to anoint the used clothing articles with oil and whether or not to pray over the gently used jackets she recently acquired at Goodwill in order to force any potential demons out of them. Smirking like a fox eating shit out of a wire brush, Robertson responds, "Well, is it possible for an inanimate object to be possessed by demons? Sure it is, but I don't think every used jacket that you pick up at Goodwill has demons in it. However, out of an abundance of caution, maybe you should pray over your used clothes." I don't know about demons possessing a used rugby shirt, but I do know that the devil wears Prada, Bob responds. He continues, "Never mind the demons in your used clothing. I'd check the label on that second-hand shirt to make sure Dacron and polyester fibers are not mixed. That's grounds for a righteous stoning, young lady." The second story comes courtesy of a San Diego couple who have hired a religious pettifogger in order to force the school district to get rid of its optional yoga program because our children's needs to learn more traditional means of getting into shape. Wonder if the God-fearing Bible-based San Diego couple are afraid of demons or perhaps mixed fibers in those yoga pants, Bob quips. And finally, in a rather disturbing story that has Bob reaching for the rot-gut tequila before sundown, the deputy speaker of the Connecticut House, representing Ernest Hewitt, has had his title yanked for what seems to be an intellect of titanic proportions. It happens during a Connecticut House hearing where a 17-year-old female student is testifying as to the tremendous success of the Connecticut Science Center, its role in furthering education, and why it should be funded for another year. The 17-year-old student tells the panel of representatives as to her experiences learning about wildlife as well as teaching her juniors about it, particularly turtles and snakes. "I've learned a lot. I mean, I never thought I'd like snakes, and I was always afraid of them, but also I'm glad that I was able to teach other kids to get over their fear of snakes," explains the 17-year-old. To which State Representative Ernest Hewitt responds, "If you're bashful, I have a snake in my pants." Someone should check to see if Representative Hewitt is on the sex offender list, and he should be immediately impeached, Bob observes. What's really unsettling and disturbing about Representative Hewitt's creepy and misogynistic remark to the young student? Representative Hewitt is a Democrat. And that's a brief look into the ghost of Horn Past, 1,826 days into Kincaid's improbable history for This Day in Horn History. And remember, rubianic rhubarb is your friend. Yes, rubianic rhubarb, only from Horn Nutraceuticals, at Horn Labs, on Twitter. And so that brings us pretty much up to speed for at least for the first portion of the program. And of course we can have ourselves some conversation radio if we would like to do that. You know the number, 304-574-8178. Or toll free. And I got to remember to mention this more often. If you need us to pay the freight on the call, toll free, just dial 844-843-4676. 844-THE-HORN. 844-843-4676. And you'll be right into the program. And, of course, from anywhere on planet Earth, Skype to Skype, Bob Kincaid Horn. It's just that easy. So a little break, and then, well, we'll leave West Virginia and check out some thorniness in other corners of the country. This is listener-supported conversation radio. $175 to go on Shirley's Challenge to begin the month. I'm Bob Kincaid, and I'll be back. By the way, Green News Report on the way from Brad Friedman and Desi Doyen.
Well, I like that echo. It goes right through my head. It's like I had that happen once, but it was chemically induced. It's 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4. See, I got a tale to tell. Listen, don't cost a dime. If you believe that, we're gonna get along just fine. Now, I've been traveling all around. I heard troubles come to your town. I got a little something guaranteed to ease your mind. It's called Snake Oil. Y'all's been around for a long, long time. Rock! Don't rain soon. Ain't seen a drop since the 10th of June. Well, I could open up the sky. People have no fear. If you ain't impressed yet, tell me what you want to hear. Well, you lost your farm, so you moved to town. Get that job or shut the factory down. Now you sit around all day long feeling sad and blue. You need snack on, yeah, I'll tell you what I'm gonna do.
It's Thursday, March 1, 2018.
Pruitt believes God commands us to take care of the environment. And that also means to use what he has provided.
EPA Administrator Scott Pruitt uses the Bible to justify exploitation of natural resources.
But I need you also to be worried about human health.
At the same time, Pruitt moves to eliminate office that studies the impacts of chemicals on children. A new study finds communities of color disproportionately bear the burden of pollution. ExxonMobil withdraws from massive deal with Russia, plus good news and bad news for the environment in the courts.
All of that good news and bad news straight ahead. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
Arming 20% of them, as Mr. Trump suggested Thursday, would mean more than 700,000 people with guns in schools.
It's no wonder the NRA likes this solution. It involves buying hundreds of thousands of guns, and that's their solution to everything. They probably deal with climate change by pointing a Glock at the ocean and daring that motherfucker to rise. And it's worth noting...
This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, sad news. Russia and ExxonMobil are breaking up.
Yeah, it sure does look like it. ExxonMobil announced Wednesday it is formally withdrawing from a massive joint venture with Russia's state-owned oil company Rosneft because of international sanctions that have halted projects to develop Russia's untapped oil reserves. The deal was signed by former Exxon CEO and current U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson. Last year, the Treasury Department fined Exxon $2 million for violating the sanctions with that contract. Bloomberg News reports that Exxon will post an after-tax loss of $200 million as a result, but that losing access to Russia's vast reserves is likely to harm Exxon's long-term efforts to increase production.
So sad.
Meanwhile, in an interview with the Christian Broadcasting Network, Environmental Protection Agency Administrator Scott Pruitt said that he believes God wants humans to exploit the planet's natural resources and wants him to deregulate the fossil fuel industry.
Of course he does.
The biblical worldview with respect to these issues is that we have a responsibility to manage and cultivate, harvest the natural resources that we've been blessed with. To truly bless our fellow mankind.
Good God.
But Pruitt, of course, focuses only on fossil fuels and ignores the impacts in pollution, environmental destruction, and climate change, and ignores the free and clean natural resources called the sun and the wind that are also part of creation.
Yet why isn't Scott Pruitt harvesting those?
It's the polar opposite of the stewardship philosophy of Pope Francis. In an interview with the New Republic, theology professor Jamie Schaefer of Marquette University said Pruitt's fringe beliefs are, quote, not a reflection based on biblical scholars' findings.
Well, knock me over with a feather.
And Pruitt's interpretation of the Bible doesn't appear to include protecting actual people. Pruitt has spent the last year rolling back pollution standards on behalf of polluting industries. This week, the EPA's own scientists have released a new study showing that in 46 U.S. states, minority and low-income communities bear the highest burden of air pollution in the nation, far more than white communities, and are disproportionately affected, leading to increased risks of asthma, heart disease, cancer, and other illnesses. But that's not all the Scott Pruitt news. He also proposed this week shutting down the EPA's research arm dedicated to studying the impacts of chemicals on children's health. Mm. In recent years, research grants funded by the National Center for Environmental Research have discovered arsenic in infant rice formulas and identified neurological effects from flame retardants and toxic pesticides. But Pruitt is proposing to eliminate that office to cut costs.
Just like the Bible commands.
Finally, some good news and some bad news for the environment in the courts. First, the bad news. The federal judge that Donald Trump accused of bias for ruling against him and his defunct Trump University this week cleared a major obstacle for Trump's controversial border wall with Mexico. U.S. District Judge Gonzalo Curiel ruled this week that the administration does have the legal authority to waive major environmental laws like the Endangered Species Act and the Clean Air and Clean Water Acts to expedite the wall's construction.
And the good news?
Well, a different federal judge has rejected the Trump Interior Department's efforts to delay the waste reduction rule that required the oil and gas industry to reduce harmful emissions of methane from operations on the public's lands and pay royalties.
So, there's that.
At least there's that.
For much more on that and all of the other stories we couldn't get to today, please check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Don't forget, you can download our reports anytime via Stitcher, TuneIn, or iTunes. Find us, follow us, and share us worldwide on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
All in all, it's just another brick in the wall. All in all, you're just another brick in the wall.
And 14 and a half minutes past the hour on this Thorn in the Side Thursday, the 1st of March, 2018. Raining pretty hard out there. Does this qualify as in like a lamb? I always root for it to come in like, I root for the in like a lion so we can have the nice spring kind of, that's probably all out the window with climate change though anyway. Hey, good news. Very good news indeed. Thank you, Samson. Samson has just knocked us down to $104 to go with a note. To celebrate my 69th birthday on Saturday. So thank you very kindly and very happy birthday to you, Samson. Thank you for being part of the community and helping keep the program going for the rest of the community. Thank you very much. And thanks very kindly to John, who has now helped us crack the $100 mark. And we're down to only $94 to go to knock out the challenge on the table this evening, Shirley's challenge in memory of our dear friend who initiated that challenge years and years ago. And is now carried forward by Ralphs and Labor Man and a person who prefers to remain a Nani Moose. Yes. All right, then. It is Conversation Radio, and I don't know if he took one for the team or heard something horrifying on Washington Journal, but whatever the case, Todd is with us. Hey, Todd.
Hey, what's going on?
You know, I'm here. Got me some water. I'm ready to go.
Hey, I don't know if it's garbled on your end, but it's a little garbled on this end, but that's okay. I don't know. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I got you fine, man. You sound great.
Okay. How's your voice, by the way? Because I know you have been dealing with stuff.
I seem to have rebounded from this pretty quickly. I'm knock wood, but... And I'm hitting myself in the head at the same time, too. You know, never know where the wood's going to be. But I think I'm okay.
Well, you're a trooper. That's all I can say. And, you know, I know I talked to you recently, but I really just have one question with maybe a couple of parts to it. But, you know, now that we're learning about these, lack of security clearances with folks who have everything to sell. In other words, they're very vulnerable. Let's put it like that. And then we've had this revolving door White House, you see. So we've had a number of people who have been privy to our secrets if they have indeed been given the truth, you know, in terms of briefings. Because we know that the person that is our president.
Well, is it fair for us to wonder just exactly what has been sold to whom at this point?
Are you See, Bob, stop, man. Why are you prodding? Why do you do that? You just hit me in the ribs, and I was trying to be nice.
Well, I mean, it's a legitimate question, isn't it?
Well, yeah, that's why I'm feeling the way I'm feeling. I'm trying to be very, like very erudite, very calm, sober about this. But inside, I'm infuriated. Because, you see, I'm connected.
Let's cut to the chase, Todd. If any of this crap had happened during the Obama administration, the Republicans would have been building a scaffold on the White House lawn, okay?
They would have dragged that family, I'm telling you right now, they would have dragged that family out of the White House because he was already in the Muslim Brotherhood, which, let me make something very clear. So what if he's a Muslim? So what?
Well, there is that.
Even if he was, that's what I'm saying. And what if he was a pagan? You know, what if he worshiped people's poop? So what? That's his religion.
And we've got this little thing that guarantees that the government can't interfere with and that there can't be a religious test for holding office. No, I get to, your point is well taken. So what?
That's their little thing. Okay, so I mean, this shit, I mean, honestly, and, you know, last time we talked, you know, it was like, I'm not hearing this enough on I hate to use that mainstream news thing because that, I don't like to say that. But let's say the old folks knew.
Well, that's why I say the for-profit media. You know, the people who will report anything if they think there's a nickel in it.
There you go. That's what I mean. Right. That's a much better term for that. So I'm not hearing enough about the fact that Kushner was seeking out this back channel with no monitoring. I mean, this is before the inauguration.
Again, this is the kind of thing that in former days would have had Republicans out there hammering boards together, building scaffolds. Just saying.
I mean, that alone. I just don't understand what is going on in some people's heads. And first of all, let me get this off my chest before I forget, because you know, you intimidate me so much. I have a lot on my mind, and sometimes I forget things. So this is all about the Great White Hope. That's what that's why on Washington Journal in the morning, I'm telling you, most of these folks who call in and they support this administration and their leader, they'll say, and God bless, you know, I'm not even going to say his name, you know who. And they'll say, well, God bless. And I'm thinking, my God, we are in the same country. We use the same money. We eat the same food. We mostly see the same things, but I'm starting to wonder, do we interpret information the same way? Because if you look at how you interpret eyesight, it's a little tricky. It's a little fucking funny, people. Look up eyesight. All right, let's look at the media side. Remember this guy? His name was Boris Epstein, and his name was spelled E-P-S-T-Y-N, which is very Eastern European. You don't see that spelling of Epstein. On this end, over here, it's Stein or Steen. It ain't no S-T-Y. I mean, that's fucking that's Eastern Russian. That's Russian shit.
Right.
And I remember when he used to appear. I mean, let me describe this Boris Epstein. He looks like a bouncer. He looks like the dude that, all right, you know, you get into a bar fight, he's going to break it up.
Yeah.
You remember Boris, don't you?
Oh, sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Now, we hadn't heard a peep out of his behind. He just disappeared. And you know when he disappeared? The same time that the gargoyle, also known as Rudy Giuliani. You know,
yeah.
He went hiding. Well, and remember, Giuliani was like, oh, I can't wait. We got something coming out. You know, he was like, he had to get new underwear. He couldn't stand himself.
Okay, so.
Remember that?
Yeah, but let me back up to Jared for a minute, okay?
Okay.
Because the point you brought up is a serious point. We know that Jared is in horrible, horrible financial trouble. You know, one of those the bigger they are kind of situations.
Mm-hmm.
There's, you know, he's got him some slums outside in the Baltimore area. He's got that albatross around his neck, 666 Fifth Avenue. And he's got more debt than he knows what to do with. And he has been busting his ass from day one trying to figure out a way to make some coin out of being in the White House. With that as prologue, then ta-da, it turns out, you remember a while back when Geezer Disgustus decided that we didn't need all those pipeline safety regulations because pipelines never explode anyway?
Yep.
Well, it turns out that a guy named Joshua Harris, who's the founder of a humongous equity firm, hedge fund, I guess, Apollo Global Management. Well, he was the one who advised the Trump administration to get rid of the regulations.
Whoa. Did you say Apollo?
Yeah, Apollo Global Management.
The entity that he got all those loans from?
You know, you just jumped ahead in the story a little bit.
I'm sorry.
But yes, at the same time he was meeting with the Trump administration, he was lunching with young Jared. And sometime between the soup and the salad, or the oysters Rockefeller. Well, no.
I like that. Oh, stop. Let's not mix the good food with this.
Well, I'm an oysters Bienville guy, but anyway.
Both of them are great. Come on.
But somewhere during lunch, Joshua Harris looked over at Jared and said, you know, I've just got, let's see, I've got 9 digits worth of money here that I'd like to loan you, Jared. And he loaned it to him so he could refi a Chicago high rise. Now, at the same time, of course, the equity firm Apollo Global Management made a shit ton of benefit out of having those regulations rolled back. Richard Painter, former White House ethics lawyer, told the New York Times, or rather Democracy Forward, "It is a very serious conflict of interest when you have the president and other officials who work for him who are indebted to any business or any entity that wants something out of the United States government. The whole thing stinks to high heaven." And again, we have no Congress. Congress should be, you know, having oversight on this. A real Congress, Todd, would be tearing at its hair, okay? This Congress isn't. I guess they just knew that the Trump clan was a bunch of Burrow Billy grifters, and grifters gonna grift, right?
So what? Are they just on board to get what they want, and then they know that he's gonna just burn, and they'll still be around, and they're just gonna
For the most part, yeah. If it ain't nailed down, it is thoroughly expected to be stolen. Jesus Christ! Look what happened over at DHS, or Housing and Urban Development, rather.
Oh, you mean Uncle Ben's rice? Yeah.
Ben, best friend of Jesus, Carson, he didn't want a grain silo. He wanted some new furniture for his office suite. And there's a law that says, you know, a federal law, a real live, honest-to-goodness federal law, says you can't spend more than $5,000 on decorating.
Mm-hmm.
But daggummit, Ben got such a deal
on this dining room table and chairs and hutch suite. I mean, he dickered them all the way down to $31,000, Todd.
That's a hell of a deal, Bob.
I mean, you don't just walk away from something like that. And so there's a whistleblower who says she got demoted because she wouldn't dodge the law to help him buy the $31,000 dining room table.
You know what? Honest to God.
I want to see a $31,000 dining room table. I do.
Come on, man. You know that it's probably some wood that you're not even supposed to be buying, like teak or ebony. It's some kind of hard wood.
Right. It was made out of the last of whatever tree it was. And it's probably got an elephant hide heating pad on it, or, you know, to keep from getting the little rings on the wood.
And what, and a little elephant ivory accents on the corner, just because?
Yeah, I mean, I read today that the last male white African rhino is feeling poorly. I'm wondering if maybe Ben's having him bumped off or something. Yeah, just slip a little arsenic in there. Yeah, do you have any idea how good white African rhino hide seat covers look on a $31,000 dinette set chair? I mean, really. But you know, the larger point here is they're just, man, grifters and thieves.
Wait.
And everybody is grabbing as much as they can get.
They are stealing as, man, this is like, they said, Tammy Hall, that's not going to be shit compared to us. Fuck that.
No, I mean, the Teapot Dome, bunch of slackers.
Wait a minute. Where's the, wait, please, you had to ring the bell. Oh,
yeah, I don't think in radio history anybody's ever described the Teapot Dome scandal as a bunch of slackers. So yeah, I think the bell's probably warranted.
That shit is so, that right? Come on, that shit's hilarious. I mean, it's not funny because we're living it, but I mean, my God. So this is why I said the Great White Hope thing, because I'm telling you, in the more my Washington Journal, you know, when I can stand it, you know, I'm like, God bless Donald Trump. He's going to bring America back. Oh, Lord.
He's making America great again. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. If you just get out of the way, let him be president. My man trying to do good. He trying to do everything right. He didn't have to take the job.
You know, if they just let him alone, quit hollering about Russia all the time, there ain't nothing to that Russia story.
They white people. What do you mean with heat? No Russia?
Yeah, speaking of whom, apparently Vlad now claims that he has sharks with frickin' laser beams. Nuclear-powered cruise missiles. That's what I woke up to this morning. I don't know what you were doing, Todd, but that's what I woke up to. Nuclear-powered cruise missiles. Daddy Vladdy said, I mean, can't you just do... Who is your daddy? Who is your daddy?
Wait a minute, Bob. Wait. We joke around a lot. Wait a minute. But did you just say nuclear-powered cruise missiles?
Yes, and sharks with frickin' laser beams. No, that's what I woke up to. Vlad, Big Bad Vladdy Daddy gave a speech that to his pet legislature or whatever, or people... You know, it's whatever you call that group of people that he hasn't had strangled or poisoned or otherwise murdered or had somebody shit on their car yet.
Mm-hmm.
And he started off talking about domestic stuff. Mother Russia will be good. We are making Mother Russia great again. All of that. But then he started getting a little wrought and talking. There's no one taking Mother Russia seriously. That is why I am telling you today, brilliant Russian scientists have developed nuclear engine for cruise missile.
and cruise missile will go anywhere on Earth because we'll not run out of fuel, and we'll evade American running dog missile detection systems because they not take America seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And now over on state TV and shit over there, they're showing. This is straight. You know, we've all heard that it's straight out of Pyongyang. Okay, they're showing video of cruise missiles landing on Florida. Nuclear powered cruise missiles. You know, animations. See, look, can nuclear powered cruise missile can reach Florida.
Okay, all I heard was that Putin was weapons that could not be detected. That's all I heard.
Yes, it's nuclear powered cruise missile.
You think that's really true?
The Pentagon says it's not, but then again, we once upon a time we also said, you know, there's no way those Pakistinkos are ever going to get them any nuclear weapons. Then the next exploded one, and then North Korea exploded one, and you know, the American intelligence community went, whoops.
Okay, all right. See, I'm feeling full circle again, because once again, Congress, now, all right, there are members of Congress that know a lot, almost everything, but they can't tell anybody else because they're in certain committees, and that's the way it's supposed to be. But at what point are they going to start doing their job? You know, I'm thinking like the Electoral College, and I'm still confused. Now, I really understand the political system. I think I do. You know, because we had this discussion before about gerrymandering and the Electoral College, and you know, they work together, right? So that safety valve failed. So now Congress is failing. So I'm thinking how many, and remember, the Electoral College is, right, those are members of what are members of Congress?
Look, the framers of the Constitution, Todd, it tried to plan for a lot of eventualities, and they did a fairly good job. But the thing is, they planned that, you know, if this, if this happens, we'll be okay. If that happens, we'll be okay. And they put a remedy. And if the other thing happens, well, there's a remedy for that. They had no way of knowing that someday, because they never anticipated that a complete fucking traitor would become the president of the United States. They had no way of knowing that someday all those bad things would happen at one time. And that the system would be completely overloaded to the point of collapse. Now, the question is, do you think that's coincidence, or is that just dumb luck? Or is that by design?
No. This is absolutely by design, because this came in one administration. You know, Obama was tied, or his hands were tied because of his ethnicity and his, the repulsion that a lot of folks had to him, and he couldn't, you know, he couldn't step on his shadow. I mean, he couldn't say that a cop was wrong because he arrested somebody trying to get in their own house when they showed that's where they live. You know, but yeah. He's the bad guy. He's like, you know, so I don't want to get into that shit, but, you know, so that's what we're dealing with. So now, you know, anything this guy does, I think it's a convergence of everything, man, because folks are just caught up in television and social media and, you know, and being influenced and don't even know it. You know, subliminal things are real. Just because people stop talking about it doesn't mean it's not real. You know, it doesn't mean it's not real. Advertising works because advertising works. I mean, it's the truth. We're humans. We respond to things like that. You consciously may not. Now I'm going to get into the subconscious, unconscious stuff, but that's a part of it. And you know that's why we have to always fight. You just can't go with the flow. You know, you have to always think. That's why I always monitor. You know, I listen to Jeff Wrench. I listen because you got to know what the other side is talking
about.
Just
to know where what the weird's doing. I just got a note in from Bill in Allentown. He said, ask Todd if he saw blank-faced Tony Perkins the other morning on Washington Journal. He had me yelling at the TV.
Oh, he was disgusting. I wrote that down. Absolutely, I did. Absolutely, I did. He's a disgusting. He is so disgusting. He how does he even get that You know, that's amazing. Because the way I understand it, anybody could do that. And Ralph Nader even taught people how to do this. You know, you just make up some letterhead. You say this is my agency, whatever. This is my platform, and you campaign for yourself. And you get a platform, you get people behind you with money. And that's all he is the snake's head. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I saw that. Yeah, Washington Journal, honest to God. And all right, so I'm just saying C-SPAN, not necessarily Washington Journal, but they will get on. But, you know, it's not safe to listen to that when they get into the interviews unless you have your scorecard, like when you go to a baseball game or something. You need to know who you're listening to.
Like, oh,
you need to know
doubt.
Who the Heritage Foundation is. Otherwise, you'll get confused. You know, not confused, confused. So, well, yeah. So, anyway, I'm not trying to take. I just talked to you the other day, man, and I don't feel guilty, but I just really. This is really sad. And yes, I wrote down about Tony Perkins. Yes, I did. And so I just don't understand, man. We're in so much trouble, yet we've got all these people. It's 30-some percent, anything over 30% of people acting in a dumbassish way in terms of what we're dealing with now. That's dangerous.
Yeah, but you know, in some ways, Todd, there's danger and there's danger. What Geezer Disgustus did in regard to the gun debate, in which he said, I want a comprehensive bill. What are you Republicans afraid of the NRA? And everybody went, ooh, he's pivoting on guns. Ooh, he's evolving. Mm-hmm. Horse shit, he is. We have got to guard against it. The breathless punditocracy out there. Oh my goodness, what about that? Will he really? No, he won't. As quick as he watches his poll numbers start diving among the maggots like a paralyzed freaking falcon, no, he won't. It's like they learned nothing from the immigration debate. I mean, my God, that website that rhymes with light and fart.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they wrote an article and called him a gun grabber.
Already,
yeah. Because he said, you know, we'll take the guns now and we'll do due process later. And they said that he was caving on a Democratic wish list. 16,000 people, Todd, commented on that article over at that website that rhymes with light and fart.
Mm-hmm. See, that's what I kind of meant when I said this is the new slavery, I don't know if I get excited sometimes. What I meant is that this is the new wedge issue. This is, we're already in a cold civil war. This is like one of the wedge. This is another piece of that wedge. Because you can hear folks and like, well, no, it's not the guns, it's the people. I'm like, well. But if they didn't have that type of weapon, that weapon has no use on the street. That's why there was a ban on it.
No. By the way, Steve from Georgistan, who's modding in the chat room this evening, says, yeah, I'm done with Washington Journal. They devoted the whole first hour of open phones yesterday to Ode to Billy Graham.
I hated that shit.
Ode to Billy Graham, really?
Thank you, Stephen.
Yesterday, yes. Billy Graham's corpse got thrown off the Tallahatchie Bridge.
Oh, God. I was like, really? All this other stuff going on. I'm like, all right, that man did what he had to do. Fine. He did this. He did that. Okay, fine. You know, but that's not helping our supposed separation between church and state. See,
no.
I'm all about secularism. I mean, I believe in something, but that... you know what? We all live here. The best thing to do is keep that shit to yourself. Do what you got to do in terms of your spirituality, whatever that may be. And let's all move on, because can we not look around the world and see how much trouble it causes? People get upset about religion. They get really, really upset.
Yeah, especially especially the religion of peace, Christians. No doubt about it. But this business with the gun and then the way that the maggots responded over at Reddit, the r/TheDonald. That's the one of the biggest pro carotene Caligula communities out there. Huge. And they went wild after his gun comments. That was honestly just a terrible move.
16,000?
Well, no, that was just the story over at Lightfart.
Oh, that was Lightfart. Okay.
Yeah, it got so bad that the moderators at R the Donald had to come in and cull out 40% of the comments.
Okay.
On a Donald Trump fan Reddit. There are 600,000 subscribers to that Reddit, that subreddit.
Damn. Wait a minute. Did you say 600,000?
Yeah, 600,000 subscribers to the R the Donald subreddit.
Now, I've been hearing about this Reddit.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, it's crazy, just right? Another, you know, it's another online forum. I read them from time to time. Folks send me links to it, and it's actually can be kind of informative. But yeah, 600,000 subscribers to R the Donald. And the comments were so batshit crazy, the mods had to come in and clear out 40% of the comments.
Wow, that's substantial. That's something. Well, you know, like I was saying on I'm not going to say his full name again, but like when I listened to JR, you know, because they carry anybody. They're mad with Trump now. You know, these people have, this is pushing these people. I think they're pushing them more toward that dominionist type of camp. You understand what I'm saying?
No, absolutely. Yeah, that's part of the game. That's part of how you keep them engaged. You feed them a little raw meat, like that stupid coin out of Israel yesterday with Trump's face on it and Cyrus the Great's.
Oh, you cracked me up with the 30 shekels. Oh man, I wanted. You had me shouting. Yeah, that was fun. That was good, Bob.
You know what? You know what we need to do? We need to, and it'd be kind of a community effort, but we need to have videos of people losing their shit during the program. You know, in a good way, like Dave in Ohio laughing his ass off, or you hollering at the speakers down it, and just, you know, it's just another night. It's just another night in the Horn community. And put them up on the website or something.
Hey, Bob, you're right. And you know what's so sad? And I know maybe other people want to talk to you. But, you know, when I go to YouTube, which I had, you know, I only been back on YouTube for about a year and a half. Because I let them go when they went through that transition before Google bought them. But, you know, now obviously everybody else knows it, but I was late to learn it. They have a lot of live channels. Fox News is always running on YouTube, constantly. Okay? Now, you try to find MSNBC, something else, you got to hunt. You got to fish. It might be there, it might not. Fox, you can get Fox News anywhere, everywhere, all the time. All the time.
Oh, I've learned that the hard way.
And so, because of Citizens United now, I'm thinking, well, Murdoch's got a lot of money. Of course, Murdoch does, but come on, there's some money coming from other places. You know, this is going to be a fight. This is going to be a real fight because we see our Congress has let us down. All our systems have let us down.
Well, they have. It's not that they've let us down, Todd. They have failed. Okay, when you're up in an airplane and an engine falls off, the engine didn't let you down. The engine failed. And we are experiencing the equivalent of a massive engineering failure of a political nature right now. The unwillingness one of those, there were certain assumptions made in the ratification of the Constitution and in the design of the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
And that was that even though Madison gave up on the idea of a factionless body politic, because he mm-hmm. was scared to death, you know, Federalist 10 is the bottom line on all of this stuff. He was terrified of faction, because he could see it happening before his very eyes. You know, they had the few years' experience with the Articles of Confederation just as a sort of appetizer, and he saw the pernicious effects that faction could. And then he sits down and he talks himself into thinking, well, you know, maybe faction could be good, maybe it'll be okay. But they worked really hard to try to come up with a functioning system. It didn't function too well. You didn't want anybody acting too hasty. But they made one fatal mistake,
mm-hmm.
or what may prove fatal in our era. And the fatal mistake that they made, Todd, was that they assumed that no matter how bad things got, that when it came down to nut-cutting time,
who?
Everybody would behave in the best interests of the country. And what we're learning from January 20th onward is that that is just not so. And if it is not so, that is the foundation upon which the entire structure rests. And if people aren't willing to put their country before their politics, or their country before their religion, or their country before their religion, their politics, and their fucking guns, it's over. None of this works anymore.
None of this works anymore. Exactly. And I have one more question. Do you remember when that wonderful... was questioning Jeff Sessions?
You dropped out then, there for a second. Do you mean when Al Franken was questioning?
Yes, and it might have been the first day, and I think it was because Jeff had to defer to Robert Mueller. He said, "I don't know. Am I being investigated? Can I?" And he said, "Can I?" And I thought it was very odd. He said, "I don't know. Can I answer this?" And you see, and this was before that you informed me about these target letters. I wasn't really that, I mean, I heard of them, but you were able to give me more information about how they actually work. And in hindsight, you know, in retrospect, you know, Jeff, I'm not impressed by Jeff, whatever, but, you know, that's me. But, because he ain't that bright. He's just got fucking big ears and he's got white privilege. So Trump
refers to him as Mr. Magoo.
Well, yeah. Come on, man. I mean, come on. You know how it is, man. Look, it's just poor people and wealthy, especially Alabama, Mississippi. Come on. Doesn't matter what race you are. It's just a very, very narrow middle. The middle class is like in the medieval times with the merchant class. That's about it. You don't have a store. You're either rich or you're poor. So he deferred, it was really odd. He said, "I don't know. Am I being investigated?" He said that to Mueller,
to Comey.
To Comey, yes. Right, right, right. Like, I don't know. Can I answer this?
Hey, go.
No, and he looked all nervous. Like, he was serious. Like, he didn't know what the hell to do because he, you know. And remember, and I totally agree with these talking heads that say this, and it's the truth. Let's look into his psyche a little bit. He's been slighted his whole life since the 80s, since he didn't make, you know, federal judge because he was too racist, because his peers didn't think he could, you know, he was good enough to do that because he had too much bias, you know. So he's wanting to prove himself. And then he had that little powwow with Rosenstein yesterday, right, to show that they were, you know, being professional no matter what the crazy man said. So now I'm thinking, yeah, he did get a target letter, and he spilled his gut. And that's got the orange, you know, the orange guy very nervous.
Well, he has a lot of reasons to be nervous. I saw one report earlier today that says now that Hope Hicks has shuffled off to Buffalo, that the next one to go will probably be National Security Advisor H.R. McMaster.
Oh, boy.
National Security Advisor H.R. McMaster.
Who's going to... So we have a junta. Kelly is the president.
Well, Kelly... I bear no love for John Kelly. He's just an unrepentant, unreconstructed old South Boston racist. And on the other hand, however, among other things, he's trying to maneuver. Everybody in that White House is in the position of being at risk of indictment because you ever had a toilet? You ever had a toilet overflow? I don't care where you are, upstairs or down, you are at risk of having some shit fall on you, or touch you, or flow over your shoe tops.
Oh, Bob.
And the White House. Well, it's like that line. It's like that line from Animal House. And every spring, the toilets explode.
Oh my! That is wonderful. And so, I love that analogy.
And so, John Kelly is desperately trying to keep the shit off of his shoes. You know, he's all squared away and marine and everything, and he doesn't want to end his career standing in front of a federal judge going, "Yeah, I did it."
Wait a minute.
Or barking at some federal jury, you know, you can't handle the truth. He ain't Jack Nicholson either.
Nope.
And so, you know, goodbye, Hopi. And he's doing everything he can to get Jovanka out of there.
But wait a minute. What you're saying is
and I don't know if you noticed it, but Jared lost his number one PR guy a couple of days ago. They're dropping flies in there. I can't remember his name offhand, but he was Jared's PR flack. He was the one that put out, you know, positive spin about Jared. He gone.
Well, guess what? He could have a target letter too. We don't know what he knows.
There's shit all over shoes in there. It's soaked into the carpet. If it's that way long enough, you've seen that commercial where the kid's sitting in his bedroom, taking off his nasty ass skanky sweat socks, and he says he doesn't smell anything, but when his mom walks in and the whole room is just decorated in skanky, sweaty, nasty socks. And he's gone nose blind. Well, they've gone nose blind because the shit's in the carpet now, okay? Everywhere you step, it squishes shit in the White House,
It's in the carpet.
And you know, drywall will soak that shit up. And you know, eventually you can see it, you know, sort of precipitating up the wall. And it's all around them. And
hey, Bob,
they're just trying really hard not to notice the smell of all the shit.
The more they dig, the more there is. And you know what? And this shit, I don't understand how anybody can support this administration any longer. Who's a thinking person? And I mean, I'm seriously, when I say this, I mean, I'm taking the politics out of it. I don't mean left, right, this, that. I'm just talking about this country and our head office. The State Department is eviscerated. With all this shit going on in the world, we have no State Department. We got one oil man, you know, who, you know, whatever. I don't know him well enough. So that's what we have. And he's corporate, and he's like, too many people. Cut him. You know, that's that corporate mentality. Betsy DeVos with this education. Now a real Secretary of Education, someone who come up the ranks, they know people. They have connections. They network. They've been in the National Association of School Superintendents, the National Association of Principals, this, that, blah, blah, blah. They would have somebody giving them a blueprint. Boom, in like 2 days. This is what we need to do. This was work. This what work, you know, this is what works in this city, in this area. This is what we need to do. I've not, maybe she's doing it. I hadn't heard a thing. I don't know anything about it. And it's a real fucking problem because they're all about the money. Because that woman's all gunned up. Her brother's all gunned up, Eric Prince. Come on. You know damn well she has some stocks and bonds and weaponry.
Please.
You know, and that's the thing.
Oh, but I got to shift gears on you before we do ring off. Did you see the photographs, Todd, from last night's consecration of the AR-15 ceremony at that church, the Rod of Iron Church in Pennsylvania?
You know what? I read the article. I didn't even want to look. I was so disgusted. I was disgusted.
You missed photography for the ages. Granted, talking about photographs on the radio, but still. Imagine a little old lady dressed all in white brocade satin, holding her AR-15 and her hand up in the air, and looking for all the world like Mitch McConnell.
Damn. She had jowls and shit?
Well, okay, she had more of a chin than he does. But the whole room was like that until you got around. And you know, again, these are offshoots of the Moonies. The preacher's brother runs a weapons factory nearby.
Oh, God.
I shit you not. So they were having their AR-15 Rod of Iron consecrating ceremony, and the nearby schools shut down for the day and bust the children 15 miles away.
What?
Yeah, no, really, the public schools are like, no.
What does that have to do with the fuck? Wait.
No, bunch of white people with AR-15s getting religious about them. No, we're gonna bust the children 15 miles away, so there ain't no way these crazy people can hurt them.
Oh God!
I mean, come on.
That must have been either central or western Pennsylvania.
It's whatever it is. It's the part of Pennsylvania that's Alabama. You know, Pittsburgh in the west, Philly in the east, Alabama in the middle.
Yeah. Well, it's like that.
But the best photo, Todd. And I tweeted it out. I tickled myself this morning. I saw it. I think it was Jose sent me the story and the photos that I found the photos in, but there's this picture of three or four guys. One of them's Korean. The other three are just white, you know, middle Pennsylvania necks, maggots. But they got white satin gloves on and white gowns, and I mean shocking hot pink fuchsia tunics over top of that, and they're all wearing tiaras.
Tiaras? That's a fucking cult. That's a goddamn AR-15 cult. That's all it is.
Time out. Time out. All religions are cults, Todd. You know, let's be fair about this. But they're wearing, and I just had this, mental moment that I looked at that photograph and I immediately, in my mind's eye, I saw Dana Lush of the NRA with both elbows on the bar and her head propped in, her forehead propped in one of her hands, looking down into the dregs of like her ninth double gray goose.
Damn.
And just mutter and just and just muttering, "This isn't helping. This isn't helping." Red-blooded Merkin men, and I'm not trying to gender anything or no. I think my values speak for themselves. But red-blooded Merkin men who wouldn't be caught within a country mile of hot pink satin, decked out in it, wearing tiaras. There were everybody had a tiara on. I think everybody got a tiara.
All right,
one woman was wearing a tiara made out of bullets.
Bob, you're making that shit up. You tell me the fucking bearded men had fucking tiaras on in Pennsylvania.
Yes.
Man, I'm pulling that shit. As soon as I hang up the phone, I'm pulling that shit up. You talk too much shit, man. You make shit up.
No. If I'm lying, I'm dying. I'm looking at it right now.
Well, you know what? It's funny, but you know what? That means we are fucked.
Well, I think if we had Scott and Punky on right now, they'd say Scott would say, "We're so screwed."
Scott would say that.
I kid you not. Tiaras.
That's insane. I've been to Kentucky, man. That is not.
And wait. I just noticed something I didn't see earlier. There's white guy, Korean guy, brother. Remember all those brothers? Remember you called up before the election and said, "Man, a lot of brothers in Philly going to vote for Trump." Remember saying that?
Yeah.
Found him.
And they're kind of
standing there at I forget what it is from the manual of arms. I think it's like an order arms where they got it tucked and they got their hands under the butts of the rifles and the barrels are up, pointing up beside their heads. And one guy's standing there and he's kind of got this little bemused smirk on his face, like, "What in the actual fuck have I gotten myself into now?" the white guy standing next to him's looking off, you know, to one side of the photographer, hoping, you know, I don't know, maybe the missus is in the crowd giving him the thumbs up or something.
It sounded good.
The photographs are from an actual NPR story about it, okay?
Oh, Bob.
This didn't come from The Onion. This isn't from some sketchy left-wing Blue Nation share review. No. This is from NPR. And there were a bunch of the photos.
Well, I heard they were liberal. I don't know about that. I heard they were liberal.
Well, the NRA's praying to God they are.
No, you know what I mean. But honestly, I'm not saying I don't believe it. Of course I believe it. I'm going to look at it because I have not seen it. But if that is the case, okay, we're in a bunch of fucking trouble. Because you know what? People who do that, guess what? They would give their children up before they would give that fucking gun up. Because they'll say to their wife, well, you can have another baby. I'm telling you, they would say some shit like that.
Oh, no. It's scary as hell because these people are doing this because of a reference to a rod of iron in the book of Revelations. They haven't just fetishized it. They're not just part of a cult. They have elevated it to a religious fetish object. You know, cracker, wine, AR-15.
A rod of iron. That's the worst thing you can get beat with back in the day. You know, because you know metals were difficult to forge. You know, metals.
And you know, I mean, I looked at this photo today, and again, my imagination just went into overdrive, and I imagine, you know, because last night we were talking about the furious fist pounding homosexual men of Moorhead, Kentucky. it's like these right wing homosexuals, they're. You remember when Louis Black, the comedian, said that back during the Reign of Error that he felt like he was probably going to go out of business because everybody was giving away George W. Bush jokes for free?
Yep.
Well, you know what? The outest, gayest guy in the gayest place in the United States, if he saw that photo earlier today, just fuck it. I'm getting a Brooks Brothers suit. There's no point in this anymore.
Oh, boy. Who would that be?
Who knows? But somewhere, somebody threw away a feather boa this morning. I mean, the next Pride Parade may feature a bunch of guys walking along wearing polo and Tommy Hilfiger and Nautica. Because, well, you know, the Christian homosexual fundamentalist right wingers have completely ended the game.
God,
you're gonna find right. you're going you know what you're gonna find this photo, and you may it, you don't do it very often. I don't know that you've ever done it. But if you see this photo between now and when the program is over, I won't be surprised if I see your number pop back up on the computer. Oh, fuck. He's seen the picture.
I can't imagine this shit. Anybody who's, if you've been to Pensatucky, I mean, this is like the Deep South. It's just not. It's not Southern, but
I've seen my fair share of Confederate flags flying around in Harrisburg and Camp Hill and places like that. Carlisle.
Oh, and guess what's in Camp Hill and Carlisle? Huge prison.
Well, yeah, that's also where they used to have. That's also where they used to have the Indian school, where they put little children that they'd stolen from their parents and their tribes. And tried to beat the Indian out of them. You might recall Jim Thorpe became the greatest athlete of the first half of the 20th century playing football for the Carlisle Indian School.
Well, Bob, the airwaves are a better place for you because you are a breath of sanity, and that's all I can say. And I'm telling everybody to tune in. You know, they don't always get it at first. Like my better half, she doesn't get it, but she's starting to get it. She's like, well, what are you talking about? I'm like, well, we're talking about current events. You know, but she's into politics and stuff, but she's just like, I don't know. But, and it, you know, but like you said, don't know, man. What is it going to take now? I mean, the president has refused to even acknowledge the fact that not only it's not just us that these trolls are messing with. You know, they're messing with elections. It's cheap. It doesn't cost anything.
Donald Trump is a freaking traitor, okay? Let's just deal with it. He sold his country out. He's been selling his country out. It's like something Brother Deacon Asa just said. He said, I think the biggest threat to national security you guys ought to worry about is Trump himself. Never mind, Jared. Trump has access to top secret information, and worse, former presidents get security briefings. That's the real danger. His brain will have collapsed like a bunch of broccoli by the time he's out of office, and he'll still be getting those briefings.
Oh, my God.
That's a little sobering.
Man. And you remember when he had that little briefing in the Oval Office with no American, nobody from the staff? It was only...
No, it was him. It was him, the Russians, and the Russians' photographers.
And he was laughing like it was a funny thing. I'm turning over secrets. Look, I'm doing what Putin wants me to do. Because he's going to fuck me if I don't.
And by the way, not to keep you hanging on, but there's just so many stories. Did you see this one weird little story out of Thailand?
Out of who?
Thailand.
Oh.
So there's this Russian sex worker, prostitute. And she gets busted in Thailand for apparently running a school for hookers or something. But she's Russian.
What?
Yeah.
What's she doing in Thailand?
Really, Todd?
I mean, they got enough women in Thailand doing that.
Well, here's the thing. The guy who is not going to be allowed to run against Big Bad Vladdy Daddy for maximum president of Russia had written an article a couple of weeks before, and he named this woman as a prostitute to escort of, mistress of, an oligarch very close to Putin himself. So fast forward 2 weeks, she gets arrested in Thailand. She's got a Russian passport, and she sends out a message saying, please, any journalist, help me get out of here. I've got the goods.
Damn.
And I will tell you everything if you'll just get me out of here.
I want to hear. You know, the Thai authorities are notoriously stringent. But I want to hear that shit.
Well, let me see if I can find it. Because it just kind of popped up there and went, what? Let's see, Russian prostitute.
You know, they got the big sex trade over there. Well, man. I don't know where we're going with this. Why can't people accept the fact that we have a whole gaggle of crooked geese running our country?
So, Agence France-Presse has the story from 2 days ago. Headline, Thailand arrests 10 Russians after sexual training course. Police have arrested 10 Russians who allegedly organized sexual training courses for their compatriots in the seaside resort city of Pattaya. Police said 33 Russian tourists in total attended the class held at a hotel, but only 10 instructors were arrested late Sunday on immigration charges, including working without a permit. Hotel management, yada, yada. Some participants told police that they had to pay 20,000 baht, $640, but some said they attended for free. One of the suspects was identified as 38-year-old Alexander Krylov, whom police described as an organizer. So that's not there. What we're looking for.
Are you saying that she's been detained? What's holding up her story? Okay, so what is holding up her story?
Well, I'm trying to find it.
Okay. Because I heard the name a little bit.
This one woman had been specifically named by, what's his name, Alexei Navalny.
Well, you know what? And while you're looking, you see, that's the other thing we got to look out for. We already know that these folks, when you have a whole country that's basically criminal, like Russia and, let's say, half
okay,
of
so yeah, so here it is from CNN. From yesterday at 3:24 p.m. A self-described Russian seductress is asking for U.S. help to escape a Thai prison in exchange for information on alleged links between U.S. President Donald Trump and Russia, according to her Instagram account. Anastasia Vashukovich, who also goes by the name Natasha Rybka, says she's being held in Thailand after being arrested on February 26th, along with nine other Russians, in the city of Pattaya for running a so-called sex training session. Rybka has said she's from Belarus but entered Thailand on a Russian passport, a Thai immigration official told CNN. While on the way to prison, Rybka published a video on her Instagram account begging for U.S. journalists to help her. I'm ready to give you all the missing puzzle pieces, support them with videos and audios regarding the connections of our respected lawmakers with Trump, Manafort, and the rest. I know a lot. I'm waiting for your offers, and I'm waiting for you in a Thai prison. Rybka has come under the spotlight in recent weeks after the Russian opposition politician Alexei Navalny published an investigation earlier this month on his Anti-Corruption Foundation website into her connections with some of Russia's richest and most powerful men. Rybka has described herself as a seductress and has published her diary on how to seduce billionaire. In the investigation, Navalny published video from Rybka's Instagram account showing an August 2016 yacht trip with Russian billionaire, here's a name you might remember, Russian billionaire Oleg Deripaska and Deputy Prime Minister Sergei Prikotko.
Uh-oh. I know Deripaska. Yeah, he's in some shit. Okay.
Navalny suggested Deripaska and Prikotko may have served as a link between the Kremlin and the Trump campaign.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely.
And Deripaska is directly connected to Paul Manafort.
Right. Right.
First thing I thought, hey, I wonder if she's one of the pee-pee girls.
Which, you know, it sounds like it, doesn't it? Because it wouldn't be a common streetwalker. It would be a high-level sex worker, right, with connections. You know, it seems like she checks all the boxes. We'll see. I mean, you know, we'll see.
But after that, the story's just gone whip.
But you know what? What's going to happen if that corroborates with the Steele dossier? What, you know, the things that we don't know. You know, let me say this. Mueller. The man, the more they talk about him, the more I admire him, because he's not saying shit. He's doing what he's supposed to do. And when they keep saying leaks, you know what? That doesn't mean anything. That man is doing his job. And what's going on is that these folks are so nervous that he's so cool and collected. And he's very methodical. All right.
He's just an old Marine with a mission.
He's on a mission. And he's just creeping in. He's not even creeping anymore. But, I mean, the stuff is so obvious. And that's the other thing is, like, these folks are brazen. They're so – I wanted to bring an ethnicity into it. But, I'll do it. They're so white privileged up. You know what I'm saying? They're so hyped up on this white privilege that they can do anything. Like Mnuchin. Taking it, you know, going to the mint and having his wife hold up freshly printed money. Get the fuck out of here, man. What the fuck does it look like? You're cheating. You're using our money to go over there, number one. You know. Let me not even get off on that tangent. You know what I mean, though, right?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, so these people telling themselves, and they wonder why why he's being, you know, why are they being looked at? Why are they under the microscope? Well, you kind of tell them yourself. You know, it's ridiculous. And they get upset. Like, don't get upset because you think you can just do whatever you want to do. And nobody's looking. Somebody's always looking. So, you know, I had something else I wanted to bring up, but I forget. But anyway, maybe somebody else will talk to you.
Well, but this has been a dandy.
Man, I always enjoyed, you know, honest to God.
I just got a tweet from Eileen, who said, Todd's the best. He always makes for an interesting conversation.
Well, that's nice. I appreciate that.
You have
fans. It's Bob.
See, that's the thing. That's the thing. Everybody in this community has their own little fan base.
No, it's Bob. Look, I stopped by Bob's house the other night. I had barbecue. I had everything. I had, you know.
Okay, so we'll wrap this up, but I'm always thinking about what would make this really fun. And Agnes and I were talking, and I said, you know what would be a blast? We've got this concrete pad just catty-cornered to the studio from where the upper half of the cistern used to be. But I said, mm-hmm. Wouldn't it be cool to get one of those gas-fired griddles? You know, you've seen them; they're big. And we could have a gas grill sitting next to that, and a little workstation for prep work and chopping and cutting and stuff like that. And have the acorn sitting right next to it. Put on that televangelist mic. Go to video, and actually do the program while making dinner.
If you keep it up, you can do it. I understand what you're saying. That sounds beautiful. You know, those flat griddles are on wheels. And you hook a propane tank up to it. You mean the flat griddle like in a, you know, the Waffle House kind of thing?
Yeah, well, like a teppanyaki table.
Oh, right there. Mm.
You know, and have the garden, you know, have the garden in the background and have fresh tomatoes and squash and things that you can... Psst, and you know make the and make the fried rice you know right there you know crack the egg with the knife and the spatula and the whackada 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 and the bing 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 bing
yeah.
bing
and damn right
and then throw down a nice piece of beef and have one of those kick ass Japanese knives and just and cut it in those
one
yeah.
This is what people who like food understand, because what Bob is saying is that between that flat griddle and the acorn, you can cook anything.
Oh yeah, because see, that's the whole thing. You'd have, you know, maybe smoke a whole sirloin tip, and just bloody rare, and then take a hunk of that off there, throw it on the teppanyaki table again, get after it with the Japanese knife.
That's how you have to do it. You have to sear it.
Yeah, and just. And have the whole hibachi meal there. That's
what I was about to say. You know, Benihana. You know, I don't know.
And do the program the whole time, because Agnes would be in here like, you know, mixing and taking calls and shit like that, and the camera. It'd be the coolest progressive video ever done.
You know what? Have you seen that? It used to be this guy on, was on the PBS station. He was out of Sonoma County, I think. And he had his grill out there in the wine country. And he would always be out there on the grill and make food and pair it with the wine. And it'd be so beautiful out there. And
yeah, we could have a little quart mason jar of really good shine, maybe with a big hunk with a hunk of pear floating in the bottom of it.
Man. In the mason. Man,
I'm always thinking, look, man.
Look, my woman. Let me tell you. You know what? My better half. Do you understand that she went to beer school in St. Louis?
Oh man,
they sent her to beer school. And, you know, it's one of these ladies who gives out free drinks sometimes in the bars and stuff. But they, you know, she moved up and they sent her to beer school. And like, I'm telling you, man.
You mean beer-iversity?
Right. No, they do that. Like, because she was a rep.
Bruniversity?
man, they had dorms. They put her up in the dorm. They had dorms out there. They put her up in the dorm. And I think it was a couple of weeks she was out there. This was like, you know, back in the early 2000s. I'm just saying, you know, look, you know what? Maybe there's hope. These delusion people. But, yeah, that's what we have to focus on, is good stuff. Because I hear you with the clack, clack, clack. Because that's the truth, man. I ain't lying. And you know what's good, man? You get that good sirloin chip. And you have some, like, smoked broccoli.
Yeah, because, see, we'd have some. We'd already have the hickory gone to it real good, just like, you know. Because really, all the business end of the smoking takes place within the first hour and a half of the process anyway.
Then we'll have cots, because, you know, after all that food, man, you know what happens. You got to take a nap.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, but, you know, people want, you know, we this is pure fantasy, but, you know, just work up make the mansion kind of not quite so beat up and 80 years old as it is, and you know, just sit there and talk and carry on, and, you know, hook up another televangelist mic, and, you know, wow. It's not for want of thinking about this stuff.
If we ever get
to the point where we can do more than just keep the program on the air, we'll start moving in that direction.
Speaking of which, listen, folks, I said it before, but I was halfway kidding, but not really kidding. Like, Bob's a big guy. Bob's over 6 feet tall. And I'm telling you, he will hang you over. You catch him in the city, he'll hang you over the ledge a little bit. All right. And see some chains and stuff fall out. You say, I don't have any money. He'll hang you over the ledge and shake you a little bit. He'll help you back over.
Man, I am not, you know? I am not Kevin Kline in A Fish Called Wanda. I am not that guy.
Well, I guess my point is,
but
that,
don't call me stupid, you know?
Don't. You can call me Ray, or you can call me Jay.
Don't call me stupid. Yeah.
No, I ain't calling you. Hey, no, by the way,
yeah?
Since I brought that up,
yeah.
I'll tell you something. Speaking of beer and Ray and Jay and Johnson, which, if you're old enough, you understand that commercial.
Oh, I remember Ray J.
You know what? I had a Miller Lite beer the other day. That's a fucking good. That's for a light beer. That's not terrible.
It's too malty. It's always just too malty for me.
It's too malty. Well, look at the other. All right. Put it this way: is it better or the worse than Bud Light?
Better.
That's what I'm saying. But Bud Light, people drink. I can't tell you how many people I see drinking that nasty ass shit up and down the street. I can, and they're like proud of it. I'm like, I wouldn't be proud of that. I'd be like cowering in the corner in the closet drinking that shit.
With a brown paper bag around it in a 40.
Hey, man.
Because that's how it's cheap. Hey, look, the biggest beer bargain down at the Rippy Mart is still a 24 ounce Molson. Or no, 24 ounce Labatt's for $1.09.
Oh, that's a steal. The blue.
Yeah, the Labatt's blue.
That ain't bad. I'll be honest with you, that ain't bad.
No, you can get a 12 pack face on for less than $8.
Yeah, that's not. I can't.
That's
I don't
cheap
know,
drunk.
Right around where I am.
Of course, I can't do any of that. I don't. You know.
I know what you're talking.
I did a little bit of tasting in New York, very gently. But
you got a flight, Bob? Did you get
I didn't get the flight. The flight was $36, and it was like a dozen.
What?
The flight of the Kurdish was $36 for a dozen 200 milliliter straight tall glasses. I was happy just to have my goffle.
Mm-hmm. You know what? It was wonderful. You know, I'm so happy. Honestly, God, when you were telling that story, you know, about your travels, I was just really happy, because I can only imagine what it would be like, you know, to be there with your son and he was playing music. I mean, he'll never forget that. That's the thing. He will never forget that. Your son will never forget that.
Yeah. I won't. No. And I'm still thinking of, I'm still thinking about that pizza joint that was open to Rosario's on the corner of Orchard Street. Man, it was awesome.
Yo, was it one of those slices that fills up the whole plate?
Yes.
You know, it's like,
yeah. No, you gotta have a box for one slice. You know, you can fold it together, but then you got to be careful, or else the grease will run off and stain whatever you're wearing. And you blast it with the red pepper flakes, and it's just cheese pizza, and it's just awesome. Yeah,
man.
By the way, we're in full camaraderie mode now, Todd. Brother Deacon Asa just said drinking Bud Light is one of those things you admit rather than proclaim. You know what I mean? Hi, my name's Asa. I drank a Bud Light.
I can't believe what they charge for that, though. I'm like, I mean, people are like happy, like, "Oh, it's on sale. It's only $4 for you know, three big tall cans of nasty ass beer." And I'm like,
"Did you ever drink a Chelada? one of those Bud Light Cheladas?" I can admit it. I did. But you know who?
Hey, what's up with this Ultra? I'm gonna tell you something.
That's cheerleader beer.
That shit is chemical. I don't know what the fuck that shit is. That shit ain't real.
But now Modelo has come out with a Chelada that's kind of respectable.
I see my South American friends around the street. They drink it.
Yeah, but you know who started all that shit, Todd?
I do not.
Chris in Germany and I were talking about it. The Germans. Rinheitsgebot? What Rinheitsgebot?
No, Wait a minute. I have beer in my mouth. I'm going to spit my beer
I will be having some Coca-Cola in my beer. What? I will be drinking... Today I'll be drinking beer and grapefruit soda. Huh? But yeah, it's their fault.
Well, let me break both our hearts right now. For the past 3 days, I've had to drive over to the capital city. They have a Trader Joe's, and, you know, they got the good beer for value priced.
I keep hearing Trader Joe's has awesome store brands.
Man, I got the Hellebach. They got this lower priced beer called Heavy Vessel Ale.
Yeah, as long as it wasn't Horst Vessel Ale, you know. No, it's not
Horst Vessel. But I mean, and in the springtime, they'll have this Spring Prost, which is like a Maybach type of beer. You don't like the malted beer, but yeah, they got the Kolsch, they got the original Budweiser type Pilsen type of beer. But you know what? Now, when you went to New York, were you able to go to a place that makes their beer on premises?
No, we didn't do any of that. We found a place nearby within walking distance that had an awesome German beer lineup.
Well, okay.
And good German food too. It was called Lorelei.
It sounds like you were near the Five Points area because you know I heard what you said that you were just in it. I didn't say anything at the time when you said you just watched the games in New York. But there's a really good YouTube. It's an old YouTube from the Discovery Channel when it was good, and it was right when the Gangs of New York came out, and they're describing the rabbit, like those different gangs.
Oh, the dead rabbits and the
Right, and apparently dead rabbits means something else. It means a big burly scary guy. Except that the people misinterpreted what they were saying because they were speaking Gaelic or Celtic. Probably Gaelic, I would suppose.
Well, same. Gaelic, yeah.
It's the same thing. Is it Celtic or Celtic?
Celtic with a K.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're only Celtics in Boston. Kind of like only the H is silent in Amherst.
Well, that's what I kind of thought. But it's a really good, interesting video to watch, you know, when you watch that movie, because that movie's good. That movie's really, like, I mean, it's based on, you know, kind of real stuff, you know, Five Points. And then below that, you know, you got the Chinatowns and Canal Street, Grand Street, then the Grand Street subway. You didn't get to Bleecker Street.
No, there's still much more to do.
Man, I hope you guys get to Philly. Honest to God, you got to get down to Old City, Philly, man. And you'll, man, they got Brewpub. I'm telling you, oh, God. I don't know. It's still so fortunate, man, for a lot of years, man.
Wait, is Bookbinders still a going concern?
Oh, man, let me tell you something. Listen to WIP, 94 WIP, the Sports Radio Philadelphia. That shit, we're still partying. Man, I call my friend. I'm in touch every day. Jersey.
No, but there was a classic Philly restaurant called Bookbinders.
Damn right. On right. Been there a number of times. Yeah, they got good she crab soup. They sell it in the can. Yes. And guess what? There's a bar. This is real colloquial, but maybe somebody in Philly. I want other people to call in. I know people are listening. They need to call in. But there's this bar, and it's called McGlinchey's. You can still smoke in this bar. This is like the only bar in a big city you can still fucking smoke in. I don't know how, because you know Philly's corrupt, so I don't know what they're doing. You can still smoke in this bar. And it looks the same as it did in 1972. It doesn't look any different. And they got hot dogs, two for a dollar. They got cheap draft beer. You know, it's like a kind of Irish bar. You know, you can't go wrong with the Irish bar. You always get really good beer and cheap food, well, at least in the Northeast. And you might get, it's funny because a lot of times they get these illegal Irish immigrants, and they're the bartenders. And they got the brogue and everything, and people like it. And they rotate out, and if you get to know them, they'll tell you where to, you know, what the next bar they're going to. Because the people who own bars, they just own one bar. They own a bunch of bars. Maybe I'm babbling too much, but it's a cultural thing, man. It's like when you go to a good bar, man, it's like Cheers. You know, you see people. That was the thing to do after work, man. You go to happy hour, you play Quizno, or you play Jeopardy when the TV's on.
Okay, we got to quit this because I just got a note from Silent R. Lamar. Quit making me want a Philly steak sandwich, Bob.
Damn right.
Quit making us Jones for food we can't get, Bob.
Man, everybody needs a good cheesesteak once in a while. Are you kidding me? Please. Oh, my God.
And that's, you know, I don't know. It's a little risky for me because I ruined a lot of food for myself in New York. I mean, I won't, God only knows when I'm going to eat another bagel.
Oh, my God, you had me dying. People who have not had really good bagels and lox, that's a fucking meal. You can live on that shit.
Yeah, and next trip, the Canisius.
Oh, I'm not kidding, am I, Bob? I'm not kidding.
No, and when they come fresh out of the oven, the bagels.
The bagels.
Yeah,
mm.
I'm gonna get. I'm I mean, gonna, we're gonna get out of here. We're gonna drive people crazy, Todd.
Let me tell you. Okay, I have a bagel set up right now, but it has grilled chicken and cream cheese on it. I'm serious. I made it this morning, and I have delicatessen wrap. I got the wax paper. I got a fucking industrial institutional box, not industrial, institutional, because that's what I do. Anyway, I see the kids coming around. Okay. Well, look, you know what, man? We got to eat. We had to be happy, and we had to keep people straight because our ship is a little off course. Not our ship, but our country's ship, and we have to get this thing straight.
A little bit, yep.
Thanks, man.
Hey, Todd, you take care. We'll talk soon. Bye.
All right, my friend.
Later. Todd always brings his A game. 18 minutes before the hour, and by the way, good news. Thanks very kindly indeed to Hamilton, who finished off the challenge this evening. Thank you. Thank you very, very kindly. And thanks to Steve and Ms. Karen and little Cletus and little Twiggy for jumping in there and putting the punctuation on the end of it. It is nice, it is refreshing, and it is, comforting. When we don't have to sweat it all the way to the end of the program. And that's why I haven't mentioned it again, because this happened over an hour ago. So thank you very, very much. Shirley's challenge, Shirley's memorial challenge has been met. And we are good to go into tomorrow. Meanwhile, Scott and Punky are waiting in the wings. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Bob. I wanted to get the verbiage right, because today and then the other day, you kind of misquoted my tagline. You left out the best part, okay?
Okay.
So the official scripture goes thusly. We're all screwed, Bob.
We're all screwed, Bob.
Yeah, I think that was the original version of it.
I think it was, and it's hard to avoid. By the way, I was going to mention it to Todd. And I'll mention it to you. If the program suddenly and mention it to everybody else, if in the remaining 16 minutes of the program or so, the program suddenly just disappears, it's not the rapture. But the powers here has been blinking like a Christmas tree light, and I just found out I've got one dead uninterruptible power supply, so I was talking to Todd and I missed a good 45 seconds of conversation because it took out the mixer and it took out the fab machine. I don't mean hurt it, but it just powered it down.
Are you guys under that strong wind advisory that the D.C. area is getting?
Apparently we are, because it's blowing hell-bent for leather out there.
Yeah, a friend of mine, a relative actually, married to one of my cousins. His widow lives in Annandale, which is in the D.C. suburbs. And I saw earlier she posted on Facebook she's taken in her grill and her lawn furniture and putting it all in the garage because it's supposed to be hellacious winds in the D.C. area.
Well, it really is. It's been blowing for the road out there. And I've heard a couple of things go bang and wham. And as soon as the program's over, I'm going to run outside and check on the acorn. I mean, that thing's pretty stable, but, you know.
Well, yeah. In the next county, somebody will see it whizzing by overhead and phone in a UFO report.
I feel like I probably ought to chain it to the ground. That thing's the key to my, a lot of my happiness. By the way, I have to share something. I just got a note in from Judy, and I think this is probably, this is definitely cowbell worthy. You'll appreciate this. If we must arm our teachers with guns, shouldn't librarians be armed with silencers?
There you go.
Ooh.
That works.
Did you happen to see the booking photo of the guy who, the teacher who went a little funny, funny in the head yesterday in Georgia?
Dimitri.
You got it. Oh, I'm so proud. I'm so proud.
And you timed it beautifully. I just taken a big old swig of my cheap-ass coffee, my old cheapo coffee.
Is this coffee freeze-dried? It's very good.
Yeah, it is very good.
But, whoa. Because, and apparently...
This was the teacher down in Georgia who was recently voted Teacher of the Year or something.
Yes, and not okay. The Associated Press had the story earlier today, and he's been not okay for a while. In 2016, Davidson walked into the lobby of the Dalton Police Headquarters and told a wild story, including his suspicions that someone had been murdered. Detectives couldn't verify that any of it was true, and he was taken to the hospital since he'd expressed thoughts of hurting himself. Not making fun. Well, he now faces 6 charges, including aggravated assault, terroristic threats and acts, and having a weapon on school property. And teaching is not an easy job. the sooner we get rid of this notion that we should have the teachers strapping, the better I'll feel. He was described by an 18-year-old high school senior there as dedicated, with a sharp wit, and always laid back, very chill. He's probably not going to be a teacher again, which hurts me because he was such a good one. It's almost like I'm still in disbelief about it. It's like completely out of left field. So, you know.
Well, I think back to some of the teachers that I had in grade school and then high school, because that's as far as I went. With the exception of maybe one or two, I can't think of any that I would not like to see armed. No, that's putting it the wrong way. Personally, I don't think any teacher in America today should be armed with anything more deadly than a red pencil used for marking homework and papers and things. But I don't know. I mean, the nuns, let's look at it honestly. Back in the 60s, my first 8 years in school, grade school, and then I guess what later became junior high, predominantly my instruction was covered by nuns. And back in those days, they were pretty tough on their own without the need of weaponry. I remember Sister
Armed with little more than a ruler, yes.
Sister Domitilla, my fifth grade math teacher, she was the only nun in the Holy Cross Order who was permitted to wear an all-leather habit. And she rode a motorcycle, but only to church and bingo. I mean, this woman was tough. Had all the personality of a rattlesnake. I mean, just... her ill-suited for her work. I mean, if there were ever anyone who was ill-suited to be around children at a relatively impressionable age, Sister Domitilla. And I don't know what patron saint Saint Domitilla was, because they were all named for saints back in those days. But Mean and Ugly comes to mind. The patron saint of Mean and Ugly. And just mean and vile and ugh. But anyway, I was not sure where I was going to go with this call, whether I was going to get all political or whether, as you and Todd were talking, and you all talk about the damnedest things, a thought came to mind on a topic that I don't think you've ever broached in my time listening to the show. And so I'll raise it since there's not a lot of time left. Have you ever been a pipe smoker?
I tried, but I gravitated more towards cigars. I love the smell of pipe smoke, but it never tasted as good as it smelled. And I think that was kind of what bummed me out.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of it depends on the quality of the tobacco and the kind of blend. And it's still around. I looked it up online the other day. In the early 70s, I went through a stage of being early to mid 70s, late 70s. I went through a stage of being a somewhat serious pipe smoker. And in Alexandria, Virginia, in the downtown area called Old Town, there's still, to this very day, a tobacconist called John Crouch Tobacconist, right down there by the riverfront. The old Potomac River, and at least a year now, I've been on the mailing list of a website dedicated to pipes and cigars, and I'm kind of wondering, I got rid of all my pipes years ago, but I'm kind of wondering if that might not be something to pick up again, because I enjoyed it. It was a very relaxing interest or pastime. I was just wondering.
Yeah, and you get to fiddle around with it, and you gotta stir it and poke it and tamp it and relight it and
yeah.
Silent R. Lamar tells me, yes, I smoke a pipe. I mean, did you? So did you favor the straight, the straight shafted, or the curling, the meerschaum, Sherlock Holmes type, or what?
My personal preference is for bent pipes. I don't like straight pipes, because depending on the design of it, a bent pipe you can hold in your teeth, and you don't have to clench it tightly, because the bowl of the pipe, if it swings down in just the right way, it can kind of rest against your chin, your beard, or whatever. And straight pipes stick out too far. They don't seem to have any. The lines are too simple, I guess. But I never really got into the really fancy. I had one really nice freehand pipe, but it was too damn heavy. That's the other thing. The weight of the pipe has to be like featherweight for me to really enjoy it, because you get a lot of. If you clench too much, you end up biting into the bit, and there's a certain amount of fatigue involved in it. But I don't know. I'm kind of looking at it, and every couple of days they'll send me something about a certain blend or a certain pipe that's on sale. And now I've started looking at YouTube videos done by various pipe smokers, where they'll talk about their pipes and talk about their blends and talk about, you know, just life in general. And they seem like a really laid back bunch of folks, which that's probably what attracted me to smoking a pipe to start with. The guy in the shop at John Crouch Tobacconist was just a very laid back guy and just would answer all of your dumb questions. But I wondered about that when it crossed my mind today. I can see you wearing a tweed suit coat with leather patches, just a very like a professor lecturing on some subject, any subject, because you know about most of them. With your head enveloped by a swirling cloud of aromatic pipe smoke, and I it just seems to fit you right to a T. And plus, you have that Celtic heritage.
Well, I do have that. So, I always wanted one of those long clay Gandalf affairs, you know.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
But they're kind of hard to come by. But in like colonial American archaeological digs, those things are popping up all the time. Little broken. Broken pieces of tobacco pipe.
There was a guy on YouTube the other day talking about what they call a radiator pipe. And I'm trying to
think. Did it have stirrups?
No, I knew you were going to go there. No, this is not Jim's, 12-inch high statue of Jesus that glows in the dark, sings Comedy Tonight, buzzes and whirs at the flick of a switch. No, this is not that.
Sounds intriguing all by itself, yes.
No, but this thing it was designed by an immigrant, which makes sense because they make all the good stuff. And he came up with this design like in the middle of the 20th century, and it was to address the age-old problem of too much moisture in your bowl. If your pipe gurgles and you get a hit of bad tasting goo.
Yeah, that was the other off-putting thing.
But this thing is called I think the name was Kristen, Kristen, radiator pipe. And it doesn't look like any other pipe that I've ever seen before. And it's a little pricey, but according to the guy who was describing it, and he took it apart and explained all the pieces and all the functions, if you get moisture using that pipe, it's only because you're submerged while you're using it. That's the only possible way that you could get a hit of nasty goo. I'll send you that link, and you can look at it. But be prepared for something that looks unlike any other tobacco pipe you've ever seen.
I will. I will keep an eye out.
But anyway, and I was waiting for Todd earlier to mention that he had caught my little contribution on Washington Journal. I guess it was last weekend, but he either missed it or forgot to mention it. There's just so much stuff to talk about. And tell me before I go, what is the source of the tiara-wearing gun toters in Pennsylvania? Where can I see all of those pictures and read that story?
Well, among other things, you can go to NPR and find it from today.
Okay. Okay.
It's the Rod of Iron Church, and it's their AR-15 consecrating ceremony.
Good Lord.
And they are when you're too heretical for the Unification Church, well, there you go.
I got to figure that there's a certain group of Baptists who trust no other scripture other than the King James.
No, these are Moonies. These are Moonies.
Oh, these are Moonies. Oh, God.
These are apostate Moonies. The preacher is one of Reverend Moon's kids.
So to generate income, they sell flowers at the off ramps of major.
No, apparently they consecrate semi-automatic assault rifles. They've moved on from the flowers and the flag pins.
Yeah, but I was thinking they're selling flowers, but the twist with these folks is the flowers come in the barrel of a gun, and that's where the big money comes from.
But you'll see the I put a thread on Facebook too. Have you not seen that?
Yeah, I saw that earlier this morning.
Well, if you scroll down there, you'll see the guys in the hot pink, too.
Okay, well, let me revisit that, because I definitely want to look into that a little bit more. And maybe, just for shits and grins and giggles, I'll send the link to my brother, who's the big gun nut in the family. He ought to... And then he'll start wearing a tiara.
But the real tickle was... before I said it, I read the tweet to Agnes, and she was like, "No, that's a good one. That's a good one. Send it. No, that's funny." And we just sat there and laughed quietly to ourselves, imagining poor Dana Lush, you know, again, both elbows on the bar, forehead cradled in one palm, you know, staring down into the dregs of that ninth double gray goose.
Yeah, slamming. Great news.
This isn't helping. This isn't helping.
Well, if they're basing their actions on the book of anything in the book of Revelation, you already know that they're just batshit crazy.
Well, yeah, it's a little bit like Jimmy James Macho Donkey Wrestler. Okay, they're basing things on the book of Revelations, which was written in Greek, translated into Latin, then translated into English, then translated into Korean, and then translated back into English.
So it's bound to lose something, or several somethings along the way.
Yeah, monkey strong bowels, you know. Rod of iron. Many days no converts come my hut. It's just beautiful.
Jesus. All right, well, I will look that up. That'll be my little assignment for this evening.
Oh, you won't be okay. I'd make sure that I did not have a big, hot gulp of coffee in my mouth when I... No, because you don't want to do the spit take on the monitor. It's hard on the equipment, Scott.
Yeah, well, no worries about being all right, because I haven't been all right for some months now.
Well, I understand that. Yeah.
And I really, one of these days, pretty soon, we're going to have to revisit my theory from about a year ago, maybe a little less than a year ago, that Trump will only stay in power to the extent that he is useful to the Republicans in the House and the Senate, both federally and on a state-by-state basis. And once he crosses that threshold and ceases to be useful, in other words, if the freight and the carrying costs become prohibitive to link up with him, that's when you're going to start seeing people bailing. We'll need to revisit that, because I think that that day is sooner rather than later, at least moving in that direction. But I don't know.
Do you want to say it? Do you want to say it just to end the program, Scott?
We're all screwed, Bob.
And you get the last word.
All right, man.
Later. And good night to Punky. All right, one more last word.
You're being fed what Hitler fed to his people in before World War I.
It's not going to get old. It's just not going to get old. So we're out of here. Thanks, everybody, for meeting Shirley's challenge. Thanks for funding the challenge to our anonymous person and Ralphs and labor man. Thank you so much. Thank you to all of you who share your precious finite time engaged in this little ongoing conversation. Thank you. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff in the chat room this evening. Thanks to Pinch Hit Midweek Utility chat room moderator and all-around great guy, Steve from Georgistan. Thanks to our news ninjas. Thank you to Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Thanks to John Fox. Thanks to Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Remember, shortened program tomorrow evening, because I'll be filling in for Malloy at 9 o'clock tomorrow night. Later, y'all.